This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And it's one of the few times probably where I would say Happy Soccer Podcast Day is doing a lot of work. Happy. Doing a lot of work.
It is a podcast day.
It's a podcast day. It is. If you're listening to this, you know we're giant Crew fans. And so we are going to be talking about the Crew losing Cucho Hernandez just days before the MLS season starts, right smack in the middle of training camp. Yeah. So all that is what we're getting into. Of course, you can tweet us at Bone Beam United. And if you'd like to, you can give us a rating on whatever podcast app you listen to this show on. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Yeah, Beamer, let's dive into, I guess, how did you find out about Cucho Hernandez leaving the Crew?
So I found out via text from you.
Oh, God. That was me. Okay, good.
So normally my day, my normal work day is early in the morning, and then I get home and then I hang out with Willie and then we both take a nap.
That's
so I put
great.
Him downstairs.
What a great plan.
And then I go to take a nap. And so usually he goes to bed for a nap, and it ranges anywhere between an hour and 3 hours with him. So you don't, like, I got to follow him to bed. Like,
sure.
I'm like, I don't know how long this is going to be for
you
me.
You can't sit around for half an hour and just dilly-daddle.
Yeah.
You got to, like,
and I do a little bit until he, like, falls asleep, and then I will make my way up to bed. But I was asleep, and I usually try to fall asleep around like 12:30-ish.
Okay.
And mostly wake up around 2. So I try to catch like an hour and a half.
Oh, man.
And so I forget at exactly what time you texted me.
I texted you right in that window. I know that.
I got up because I hadn't even seen the Myles Garrett news yet.
Oh, okay. So you really hadn't seen.
I hadn't seen anything. Like, usually I'm busy with him. Like, I'm not checking my phone. We don't want him to have screen time. So I'm off of my phone. At the same time, and really the only time that we do it, sometimes we FaceTime my mom, his nana, at lunchtime just to talk to her. And so I didn't really know anything that was going on. And so I not only do I wake up to a text, I'll read the text. Let me go back and I'll read the text from you. Because
yeah, so as you said, Myles Garrett had announced he wanted to trade from the Browns. So I was processing that. And then as like we're talking about that in the office here, where I'm at work, this is what we do. We talk about this stuff. And then I'm
Myles
sitting
Garrett
down.
Plays for the Browns. Eric.
Neighbor Eric should know that. Yeah. We should let him know. So that's like a big deal, right? And I'm like, of course, this is great. And I'm mad at the Haslams anyway because they just have ruined the Browns yet again. And then as I'm processing that, this news comes out and I'm like, what is going on today? Like, all the bad. Kirill Marchenko for the Jackets got
his
face
jaw
broken
by an errant puck on the bench.
Was just sitting on the bench. It was just a day where I'm like, Jim Knowles had left, and then Chip Kelly leaves, yep. And everybody's leaving. And I'm like, what is happening? So that, of course, I see the Cucho Hernandez news, and then I text you.
It was 1:44 in the afternoon. Okay. My response came at 2:30.
Okay.
1:44 in the afternoon. Well, Cucho's gone. Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland. Our pets' heads are falling off. So that was the one. I have multiple texts usually when I wake up, and I looked at that and I said, what the hell is happening? Am I awake? Am I in a lucid state? What is going on? So I hopped onto Twitter, hopped onto, you know, usually where I get my news from. I'm like, oh yeah, this is both of these things have happened while I've been incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was in a quite amount of shock. And really the sad part in this whole podcast is just going to be a wide range
of
emotions.
It's all discussion of this. And
the
trying
sad
to
part
feel
is,
it out.
You know, we've got Crew stuff that we wear a lot, but I have this cool Crew hat, you know, like a Mitchell and Ness, and it's got the construction workers on it.
Yeah, it's a good hat.
It's a good hat. It's a nice hat. I like the hat. It's got the OG logo.
Mm.
And so anytime I wear that hat, I have William sees it, and he likes to wear my hats because they're always too big, and he kind of plays like peekaboo with them.
Yeah,
puts it down over his face, then he rips it up. So that hat that I usually wear, whenever I ask him what this hat is, because, you know, some are like Ohio State hats and some are Bears hats and just different kinds of sports teams hats. And with that hat, He always says, "Go Crew! Go Crew!"
There you go.
And then I say, "Who plays for the Crew?" "Cucho! Cucho!" And so then I got up and I thought about that. And I'm like, oh, man, that's really disappointing that he's not going to be able. I mean, he can still say Cucho. I'm sure that he still will. Like, that's disappointing that he's just not going to be here. And then I was, like, really sad about it.
Yeah, that one gets you, right? Because then you realize you've got, like, your kids know this and they don't have the perspective. Like, Taylor Twellman can have his perspective, right, on how great this is for American soccer. That's all well and good. That doesn't really help, like, children who watch the team.
Or me.
Or me either, right? Who are just like, hey, I just want to watch my soccer team be good, and this dude is awesome. He's perhaps the greatest player we've ever seen
regardless
in black and gold.
Of however many cups he won, and he's been monumental in the last couple. The dude just flat out is exciting to watch.
Yeah, if they'd never won anything, right, he would still hold a place because you just watch the way he plays the game, and you say, like, I think I've told you this before. I'm sure I've said it on this podcast, but the only guy I've ever seen run as hard off the ball, on the ball, to track back, all that, from that forward position, I got to watch Mo Salah play for a half in a friendly for Liverpool when they came in right after they had won the Premier League. It was up at Ann Arbor, big house. They were playing your guys, Manchester United. Mm-hmm. And, of course, most of these players, they were not playing their full squads. They're, you know,
getting ready for the season.
Yeah, guys with the number like, you know, 88 and 77 and 99 are playing. And I'm just like, okay, what? Who are these dudes? But then, like, you know, Mo Salah comes out there for the first half, and I just, every ball, it was like someone had told him, if you don't get to this ball, they are never going to let you play soccer again. Like, the way he ran for this ball. And then I see Cucho and the way he plays in games where you're like, this is a nothing team they're playing. The Crew are up in the standings, that they should be throttling this team. And he, in the 70th minute, if he's in there, is still running like that. Yeah. And so that's the point, right? It's like, this guy is such a great, like, everything you want out of a forward, out of a playmaker,
not alone
false
the work
nine.
Ethic. I mean, the talent was supreme too.
Well, of course, right? But guys who are that talented, there is obviously a reason why some guys look at that and go, yeah, I can get to that, or I can do that. I don't have to do all the running, because when I get the ball, whenever it comes to me, I'll make something happen.
Yeah.
He does all that and is great on the ball and has all that skill and vision. And I mean, some of the passes he puts through from midfield, you're like, this is as good as any, like, attacking mid we've ever had.
Yeah.
And he's playing more of a nine fall. I know the false nine position, you're kind of in between those two, but like, he has such great vision, let alone his finishing ability. So I know we're just telling you things you already know, making it even worse. But
it was sad.
Of course, sad. Well, I sent that text thinking you probably had, like, neighbor Eric had already, you and him had already been
bursting,
like,
through my doors.
Yeah, like, had been talking on your shared driveway, drinking beers, already commiserating. So yeah. I sent that thinking, well, how can I make him laugh a little bit? And so I went with the Dumb and Dumber line.
No, you were the first person I found out from.
What a callous way for me to break this news to you. It's just awful. I hate it.
What?
It's terrible. I'm sorry, buddy.
That's okay.
But that's what a horrible way to find out. I don't like that.
Well, I'm glad I found it out from you than just, like, having no text from you and then finding out on Twitter and then texting and you, be like, what the hell is this? Hell.
Yeah, it's, man, and so then, of course, begins this long process of the last couple days of trying to figure out what the hell happened and why and how. And so there was a big article that Charles Bohm put out. Bohm, he's a nice dude. I've talked to him before. Good guy, does a lot of reporting for MLS. He had an article on MLS's website basically saying, you know, how this all came together. And a lot of it is involving quotes from Issa Tall, the Crew's new general manager.
Yeah.
And in this article, he lays out how Issa Tall basically said, when we went through the process of acquiring him, obviously back when Bez was here, but Issa Tall was instrumental in getting him here. The whole pitch to him was, look, you're not playing as much as you want to at Watford. You're a great player. We think you can come here and dominate. We think you can be the best player on our team.
And he did.
Yeah, they were right. I mean, good call by everyone involved with the Crew who said that. And then they said, but you'll get a chance to rehab your image from an on-the-field standpoint. And then when a team calls, like from a top five league, if you want to go back, we're ready to help you make that happen. To get a 22, 23-year-old Cucho Hernandez who had a lot of talent and clearly was, you know,
in the prime of his career.
Right. Like, to get him to leave a European league and come over to MLS was a huge get for the Crew. And but obviously there had to be some kind of a discussion about what happens if you play as well as we think you can. Are you going to stay here for 10 years? The answer probably was not. We all knew that. I mean, how many times did we talk about it?
Tons. We talked about the first goal that he scored for the Crew. Like, boy, I don't know if this is going to be a one-year thing, an 18-month thing. How long this is going to be? Yeah. It's not going to be forever.
Right. And so we said that even all last year. It was, you don't know when this is going to end, so enjoy it while it lasts. Yep. And it was not just about him. It was about everybody. You know, goes with Wilfried Nancy. Mm-hmm. We've said the same thing about him. This guy is a great coaching talent.
Darlington, Aiden Morris, these dudes.
Just don't know when this is all going to – but the coalescence of all those players together was special, right? So I feel like where I was when I saw this news was like, there it is. Like, this is the start of the Crew being out of that, like, championship or bust level of roster. Because without that guy on the roster,
your worst team. It's
you're a very good team, but I think they'll be I hope they'll be a competitive team. But right now, like, a lot of what they did was based off of him and how good he was. I know
the way that Rossi was able to play too was the way that Cucho played.
Yeah, and there's a lot of what, you know, Christian Hernandez was able to do.
Sure.
That was because of, you know, that triumvirate up top when all three were healthy was really tough to deal with. So it's not that the season's over or lost or anything like that, but that's where we were talking about, like, this. So when that actually happens, it's like, okay, this could be the end. I think the timing of it too, like, if this news broke in December, right? Like, there were little reports here and there that, like, oh, Monterrey is interested. And then those immediately got shot down. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right.
I felt that as soon as they got to Florida for preseason camp, that Cucho was going to be on the roster.
Yeah, I thought, all right, he's not transferring until at least the summer.
Yep.
So maybe you can rack up some wins. You can start developing a plan. Maybe you can get someone in that is kind of going to be there to push. And then, you know, then if he leaves in the summer, it's like, well, we got the guy already here who's going to replace him.
Yeah.
Or attempt to. So that timing really sucks. Right, because yeah. It's and according to that article,
the first game's in 17 days.
I know,
more a little over 2 weeks away.
Yeah, I just got my email for my tickets too, so I'm like, great. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm excited to go, but I'm just saying, like, that it did put a damper
that
on things.
Stinks,
like, the email's here saying, hey, your tickets are in. It's like, hey, the guy, my favorite player's leaving. Like, that sucks. That's a rough deal. So the questions I had were, why couldn't you get more money for him?
Yes, that was my first.
And if you read that article on MLS soccer.com with their login or whatever, like, you will see that their Isatal's case is that, you know, Cucho wanted to go to a top five European league. He did not want to go to a CONCACAF league.
Don't blame him.
Can't blame him, right. He has goals of trying to get back in with Colombia. We can separate that out and say that I think that argument is not great. The argument that he has to go to a European league to break through on the Colombian national team. One, that is such a hard thing to know what your national team coach is going to want to
Thiago
do.
Thiago Almeida was on Argentina's World Cup winning team playing for an MLS side.
That's right. But if the Colombian coach is like, I don't care, I just don't like MLS based players, I need to see you in Europe. Okay.
Jurgen did that. Jurgen Klinsmann.
Yeah,
we saw
right.
that.
Yeah, he did. But also, John Duran just left Aston Villa to go to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, $75 million.
And I mean, I know they don't play the same position, but it's like, that's a guy who's not in a top five European league, who is definitely on the Colombian national team.
Who also
right?
The Chicago Fire got $8 million for their sell on fee of him.
That's right. Who was I talking with about that? I'm trying to remember who we were. I was discussing with my buddy Jared, who, big soccer guy, he is the reason I got into Sunderland. He is like the main, him and my buddy George are the guys that got me into Sunderland.
Till you die.
That's right. Oh, well, we're in it, buddy.
Are you back?
Sunderland's, I've been back. What do you mean? I'm here. I've been watching. I'm good. But he and I were talking about this the other day, and I told him about, like, well, you know, he didn't realize that your guy from the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Oh, Alfonso.
Alfonso Davies. He didn't realize that that was a MLS product.
Oh, of course.
And then I told him about John Duran. He's like, yeah, that guy just transferred. I'm like, yeah, he played for Chicago. He's like, what? And I'm like, yes, this this league does do that, right? So I'm not saying it's a bad thing that MLS teams are able to process these guys out, but I for the life of me don't understand why we have to, as fans, be happy when great talent leaves here.
Listen, I can compartmentalize and be happy for Cucho that if you ultimately wanted to get back to Europe, there is nobody here within the Crew fan base that wants anything but great things to happen for him, right?
Of course. Yeah, he's
earned
it.
It's the same for
Aiden
Moore. We talked about it with Aiden Morris when he left.
Yes.
You want to go chase those goals and chase those dreams of yours, go for it.
Yeah.
Nobody in here is stopping you in the way. Now, I can also separate that from, like, wanting to cheer for Cucho and hoping that he has all the success in the world. And I can differentiate that being like, well, that stinks.
Right.
You know, I can have those differences. And like, yeah, is it good for business? I don't know. You got $16 million back for him. Bonus incentives. I know there's going to be a sell-on fee if he leaves Real Betis and goes somewhere else. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we're talking about winning and losing games. And you get $16 million. I'd be hard-pressed to find another Cucho walking through that door.
For $16 million?
I know that we said that about Lucas, and then you got Cucho, and we got to see those two guys play at a very...
We got to see them play at the same time for
a little bit.
Like, what, a year?
Year-ish.
I feel like
quite a year.
Yeah, because it was right. Cucho transferred in the summer before, and then Lucas left in the summer after.
Yes.
So they had like half of two seasons where they played with each other.
Now, I know that was a little bit different circumstances, but you're also trying to replace a guy who's in like the 99th percentile of everything that he did.
Right.
So, like, I could be happy for the player that
he ultimately has
a career goal. And I could also be pretty tepid and now worried about what this Crew season is going to look like without one of the best players across the league.
Right. Also, like we talked about with timing, like they went out with Cucho, brought him in. He had a year here before you had to deal with the loss of Lucas El Rayon. Lucas El Rayon transfers out, and immediately you bring in Diego Rossi in the same transfer window. Then he obviously has a little bit of ramp-up time, but
crucial on that cup run.
Crucial, absolutely crucial. But he also had Cucho there, who was the number one guy. And not that Diego Rossi isn't capable of being that. He's going to have to be that guy now. But when you bring in the next guy, like, that's not happening. Probably anyone on Cucho's level, I don't think they're bringing in someone from MLS. I don't think we're doing a cash transfer from some other team in MLS, right? That's the only window that's open. I think the MLS window stays open until April something. So
I think you're right.
The Europe, yeah, it's a long one. But the European window and all the other windows basically around the world are closed. So the only
closing, I think there are still. And it's weird because every league is different. Like, Spain's league was like 2 or 3 hours, or maybe the next day compared to England.
Okay.
So, like,
sure.
It is strange. And I want to say that, like, Norway is open until like February 18th.
Okay.
So, like, there are different countries and different leagues that are still open for the next couple of weeks.
But by and large, if you're thinking they're going to transfer someone from a top five European league, doesn't seem like
those are close.
That's not happening until the summer. Like, if that's where it is. And if they can do something with, you know, a team in CONCACAF somewhere else, fine. But the whole point here is that this timing of this sucks, because you now have to deal with the first half of the season where you're going to play without your best player.
You're also going to play a lot of games.
And that's also put you in CONCACAF Champions Cup. All that stuff is, you know, which we'd love to see them try to make another run at that. That just feels like there's no chance now, right?
No.
For that. Like, it almost feels like don't even bother. Just,
they have 18 players on their senior squad.
Right. Yeah. Also, let's back up off of that. There are issues with this roster that we talked about when the season ended.
Cucho.
What massive transfers have you seen where they've infused this roster with a bunch of new talent?
No.
They haven't. Like, so this first real offseason for Issa Tall has been largely disappointing. I am not trying to, like, rip this guy or anything, because, you know, we got a long way to go here. And there's a lot of this process that has to work out.
And this is his first year in charge.
But if they had brought in 3 or 4 reinforcements and then lost Cucho, I would feel like, all right, well, Wilfried Nancy has a bunch of these guys he wants to work in different ways, and maybe we don't need a false nine now. Maybe we can, you know, but you were in training camp. They're literally highlighting pictures of Cucho, and, like, Cucho's here, you know, people are showing him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's not quite the Luka Doncic thing, but for me, it's like a step below that of like, we knew this was coming. We knew there was a chance it could happen. But when you got all the way through the offseason and got literally to training camp, you think, all right, they're not dealing this guy. We haven't heard. We
haven't
barely
heard
been a
anything,
rumor.
And it was transfer deadline day.
Yeah.
Nothing. So, and then boom, bomb.
Right. So that is where the gut punch comes in. And I think that discussion of how the crew go forward is the one that we really don't want to have, probably, because it just doesn't feel great. Doesn't feel like, I mean, it feels like right now this is a team that best case scenario this year is
gets like fights like hell and gets in the playoffs.
And then you hope in the summer they infuse some transfers who can have like a 2 month runway to get all acclimated to Wilfried Nancy's system, learn how to play in it.
Oh, they've done it before.
Sure. But like I said, the last time they had Cucho there for a year before it really had to, you know, where they then lost Lucas. So you had a guy at the top that could handle that. We already talked about how losing Aiden Morris last year has really affected this team. And I know they're high on all their crew two players and, you know, Taha Brun and some of these guys that have come up and played. And that's great. But like, dude, Jason Russell Rowe is, in my opinion, he's just a guy. Like, he's a good player, but if you want to talk about, like, work rate, like, Cucho and him are not on the same level on that. I'm not trying to rip him. He's a younger player. Maybe he will get that at some point. But if you think it's just going to be, oh, plug and play, we're all good, I don't think anybody is.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
Yeah, I hope not. And I'm not trying to compare him. It's not fair to compare him to a guy like Cucho. He's on a different level. He's a world-class player. And he deserves every opportunity he's getting. But, again, the business of this that everyone wants to tell me is so great, you lost your best player for a fee that I think MLS teams are paying more to bring guys in than Cucho. We got to let him go. And that's all because Real Betis is like, I guess we'll take your MLS guy as a backup. He's not starting there, at least not initially.
Not now.
Now, I think he should be. I think they will quickly realize he is great, and I hope that he gets everything he deserves.
And Anthony on the same team.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He got loaned out there.
Anthony, man of the match in his first game at Real Betis.
Oh, see?
It's not his problem.
No. Like, I'm just telling you, this is this notion that, like, the Taylor Twellmans of the world have come in and been like, they did right by him, and this is great for MLS. No, it's not. Like, it's good from the sense that if you're still trying to fight that battle that MLS has good players in it, sure. But
that's been a battle that I feel like long ago has passed.
Well, also, does Real Betis feel like that? Because they only had to pay $16 million to get him. Mm-hmm. Now, they have only paid, I think, over $20 million. I saw Pat Murphy had this in his article for Massive Report. Good article there, too.
He's back.
Yeah, he wrote for Massive Report this one time. Jump back in to write about this. Pat Murphy pointed out that Real Betis has only transferred three guys in for more than $20 million in their history. So they are not like a huge spending club, but Cucho should have been the fourth. Like if I'm Issa Tall,
I was
say
on this podcast months ago talking about how I don't even want it to be in the 30s.
Right.
I want it to be in the 40s.
Right. And it's I know that's a high bar, but like the idea that Cucho Hernandez, the idea that somehow it's good for MLS that Cucho Hernandez to get into top five league has to take a backup role and only get a $16 million transfer for his team. And Taylor Twellman's like, great day for U.S. soccer and MLS. It's like, what are you talking about, man? If they respected this league, they would have paid $30 million for this guy. They don't respect this league. Still, no one does. And the reason is because all this league ever does is say, did you know we have Lionel Messi? Did you know we have David Beckham? Did you know we have all these guys who used to play that are like, that's your marketing. And the thing that you should be marketing, which they started to, and I'll give them credit, the league's marketing was Lionel Messi first, and then right after him would be either Cucho or Lucha Acosta. Mm-hmm. Two guys that you should market because those guys are also great talents. I mean, at least in Lucha's
John
case.
Duran.
Right. You could have, you know, you got rid of him, but that's fine. I get the business side of that. All I'm pointing out here is it's not a great day for U.S. soccer if we're talking about MLS breaking through in this country.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's broken through in the boardrooms of European clubs. I care about if I talk to someone on the street here in Columbus and they say, I'm interested in going to a crew game or I'm not. The fact that Cucho went to Real Betis means nothing to most people. most of the people you and I know, Beam, that are not soccer fans are going to say, what is a Real Betis?
I thought that was Real Madrid.
Right. We're going to say it's in their league, but they're, oh, so is he starting for this non-team?
No, Giovanni Lo Celso is.
Okay. Who? To most people, yeah, right? Again, right. Like, yeah. This is where the Taylor Twellmans and the soccer, oh, guys, this is a great move for MLS. They don't understand. MLS is never going to break in as a top sport in this country where it matters the most that it does that without them eventually hanging on to and paying the guys who are worth it and not having them go overseas because their national team coach thinks they have to play overseas to be able to make a World Cup
squad.
And
I don't know how you shake that. I don't know. I don't know how you shake that mantra.
Here's one way you do it. You pay John Duran enough that he doesn't want to go somewhere else. You pay Alfonso. And again, I know the league isn't there, but you pay Alfonso Davies enough that he says, why? I know I want to. Again, guys want to chase Champions League. Cujo's not going to Bayern Munich. Yeah. Cujo's not going to Manchester United. He is going to play for a squad that will be, yes, in the fight. They're sixth, I think, right now. Are they 10th now? Tenth. Well, then they must have lost or something because they were sixth the last I looked. So they're mid-table in La Liga. Can they fight for a Champions League spot? Sure. I mean, that's not out of the question, but they're likely, if they don't transfer guys more than $20 million, they're not fighting for a Champions League spot.
Not year in, year out.
No. So he's not going to a Champions League level club. He's only trying to get his national team coach to go, oh, I'll pay attention to you now, which is, so I have to be happy that he left because his Colombian national team coach is an idiot, I guess, and won't like acknowledge that you can be a good player in MLS. That's stupid. And I think if he wouldn't give Cucho a chance there, I don't know that him playing mid-level La Liga soccer is going to make him say, oh, now I'll definitely bring you on the squad.
If we had an opportunity, because my second gripe with this was not only the $16 million price tag. My second gripe was if we could give Isatal truth serum and find out what was the number that he wanted, was there a number that he wanted, and were you willing to pay it?
Well,
that is like if a contract came down, and the crew offered him $8 million a year, whatever it may be. Make up your number.
Right.
What was that number? And was there a number that he was going to take that would have just made him stay? Or did that even exist? And did he want to get out? Because I know he loved it here. It was great. Or was his ultimate goal to go back and play in Europe? Because if that, then you have a hard time being able to retain those guys. So if it actually comes down to the player not wanting to be here,
right,
and not to say that he didn't want to be here, that's a bad way
to
say it.
I know, but if his ultimate goal was, I'm going to come here, do my service time, and then if there's a chance to go back to Europe, I want to take it.
Was there even a number that you could conjure up that would have staved him off from going?
Here, and Murph had this in his article too. Pat Murphy had a line where he said, talk to a crew front office source or someone in the crew who said, or one of his sources that said, well, what else is Cucho going to say? Other than I want to be here, right? So don't put a lot of stock in that. Fine. The idea, because Taylor Twellman will have you believe, and all these people who are like apologists for the Haslam family, you know, the Haslams who are so great at running sports organizations, they do an awesome job. The Haslams, they would have paid any number to keep him. They would have spent any amount of money to keep him. One, I don't believe that. They are actually in a situation with their football team not having enough money to pay guys. Obviously, they have cap space issues and all that. Haslams are wealthy as hell. They also want to build a brand new arena. They want to build a brand new stadium. Mm-hmm. Like they are not as
multiple cash. Billions of dollars.
This transfer window should give you an indication. They don't have as much cash laying around as they did maybe 5 years ago when they bought the team, right? I mean, they are now in a situation where they want to finance a multi-billion dollar indoor stadium in another part of the city or around Cleveland. That's going to affect your liquidity. I don't care how many billions you have. When you want to spend billions, the banks do call you and say, how much money are you actually dealing with?
I feel that pain.
Right. Don't we all? How many times have you said, I'd like to build another massive sports entertainment complex?
I'd like to buy this Lego set, please. Bank calls me, sir.
Sir.
You've overdrawn on your account for the fifth time this month.
It's not happening. You're not doing that.
It looks like we're cutting Netflix out of the budget this month.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's... Ultimately, I feel like the argument that Cucho, there's no number he would have taken, I call absolute 100% bullshit. Like, if you
let's just be truth
serum.
Let's
be stupid. Let's be stupid.
Yeah.
If you said, Cucho, here's $20 million a year. He's a DP. You can pay him whatever you want. You can pay him $100 million a year. There's a number. I'm not saying it's reasonable,
yeah.
But this idea of like there's no number. He only wanted to go. That's
yes,
not
there
true.
There is. There's a number for everybody.
If you offered him $10 million a year to play in Columbus, Ohio, you don't think he would have said, you know what? I'll just make sure the national team gets every clip. I understand he wants to chase his dream. I do get that. Everyone is acting like once you've decided I want to try to make the national team notice me, well, then you just have to leave MLS. You just have to. No, you don't. As you pointed out, one of the better players on Argentina's squad played in MLS when he got selected for that. He's a little younger than Cucho, but they take notice of this league.
Beat out Alejandro Garnacho for the last spot on Argentina's roster. Last time I checked, he played for Manchester United.
Manchester United, that's right, so, yes. I forgot where
Atlanta,
he was at the time.
And a guy from Manchester United, Atlanta outweighed United.
It's almost like if the talent's there, and by the way, you have to be given opportunities, but who is to say, like, again, I'm not faulting Cucho. The argument is you couldn't have set $20 million in front of this guy and he wouldn't have budged. He just wanted to go play for Real Betis or somewhere in Europe. I'd love to have tested that theory. The Crew supposedly didn't offer him a contract.
All right, see, that's the problem.
Everyone who's got their sources, Taylor Twellman, Pat Murphy, everybody else around this who actually reports on this stuff, please tell me what the numbers were that he was offered from the Crew that he turned down. If the number is like, oh man, we offered him $9 million a year,
okay,
and he flat out said no, he's only getting like two or three a year here.
Yeah.
Not only, I know that's a lot for a MLS team, especially the Crew, but it's not a lot for the Haslams. It's not a lot for the world of soccer that we live in. It's not a lot for what he's worth. If you're going to tell me they offered him $9 million a year for like 4 years and he just flat out said, no, I'm going to look at $36 million and say, absolutely not, then I'm willing to hear your argument. But everyone here is like, what can you do when you don't even offer a guy a contract? You make no offseason moves and Real Betis calls you at the last minute and says, how about $16 million? Yeah, I think you can do better. I think you can say, sorry, Real Betis, we want him to have a chance. Call us back in the summer with a better offer. Call us back, and then you get a half of a year with him, and he has a full year still to get in with Colombia,
mm-hmm.
and you can get maybe $20, $25 million for him, if
what
not from
worth.
Them, from someone else. To take this $16 million and say, oh, well, good enough. Yeah, that to me seems like
one of the best players in MLS history.
It seems like a guy who's been on the job for 8 months kind of got screwed over by veteran negotiators. That's what it seems like to me.
You could have got $16 million out of him after his first few months here.
Yeah. You know, I thought on this podcast today I was going to, like, talk through it and eventually come around to, like, well, I see all their points. I see less of it now after reading all these articles. I really do, because the arguments are just not there. They sound good initially, but with any critical thinking applied to it, you would say, hold on, then what's the numbers that he turned down?
Yeah.
No one's reported that. I've not seen one. Again, maybe I'm wrong. If there's a report that says they offered him $7 million a year, and he said no. All right, then bump it to $8 million. Like, what are we talking about? Yeah. This guy is awesome. And never forget, the reason your Columbus Crew are going to place Lionel Messi in Cleveland in a few months is because they say they need the cash to keep guys like Cucho Hernandez, and they let him walk out the door for basically half or double what they're going to make off that game. They're going to make $7, $8 million off that game. They let him go for $16 million. So I hope you're going to spend $25 million to get someone back, because that's what it's going to cost. You're going to need, like, somewhere north of $20 million in transfer fee to get the next guy who's Cucho level to come here. I'm sorry. Because I don't want him to come for a 2-year rental. I want him to come here and actually be great. And not that Cucho wasn't. I want him to be great for 5 or 6 years. Yeah. I want him to, like, say, yes, this is where I want to be. So you do that by making massive investments in transfer fees. And I know the $10 million transfer fee they did for him, or $9 million, whatever it was pretty big. I saw in one of the articles, they said this was the biggest transfer fee the Crew had gotten since COVID.
What do you mean?
They said, I think in that Charles Baum article for MLS, unless I read it wrong, it said this is the largest fee that Columbus has received.
Ever. It should have been ever.
Since COVID, which made me think, when did Zach Steffen transfer out? Before COVID.
Before COVID.
Did Zach Steffen?
No.
Did Manchester City give more for Zach Steffen than Real Betis did for Cucho Hernandez?
That's a crime if that's true.
Especially with inflation. I mean, come on. that's a seven contract now. It's like $28 million or something. Like, I maybe it was. It's the largest. No, it can't be. Because then the only other thing that could make sense is if they said it was the largest fee or one of the largest fees MLS had done since COVID.
Just which, set a club record fee at the time, 2018.
Yeah. But I believe we heard that number was somewhere north of like
10. Right?
I thought it was north of 15. I could be wrong on that. I could have sworn it was like 15 to 20, somewhere in that range. But if you go look up that, I'll have to find it too. But my whole point here is the idea that you should be thrilled that the Crew got $16 million. No, you shouldn't. You should look at that and say that's a failure by this front office to not secure a better deal. Because as much as Cucho wanted to go, the World Cup's not in 2 months. It's a year and a half away.
Right.
He's got time if you keep him another 6 months, 3 months, whatever, and eventually find a landing spot for him that is show them that you're serious. But what happens is Real Betis on the last day gets you to cave because they offered it like 10 to start. That's what you paid for him. And he vastly improved from where he was when you brought him in. So the idea of like, wow, they negotiated their way up to $16 million. You should have negotiated your way up to $26 million. What are we talking about?
6.82 million pounds for Zach Steffen.
There's no way that's right. Is that what they're saying?
That's on transfer market.
I don't believe. That might be what he's worth now.
He's worth two now.
Oh, okay. No, there's no way it was. I cannot believe it was less than 15. I think Zach, because at the time, I remember when that happened, we were all like, oh my gosh, they got something north of like some ridiculous. Well, okay. The article in MLS.com said something about it's the largest transfer fee. I thought for the club.
Following a $7 million transfer to Man City.
That's all it was? Okay. I guess I'm wrong then. I guess I'm wrong. I just know this. I don't believe you when you say you couldn't get more than $16 million for Cucho Hernandez.
Oh, I don't believe it.
I got to look at this article again because I got to figure out what I saw in that thing that made me think that.
It should have been the largest of all time. Like, plain and simple.
Of course.
The largest transfer fee in club history all time is what it should have been.
By the way, it was extremely not disappointing or anything. Like, I don't dislike this player that I'm going to mention, but CONCACAF Champions Cup at the Champions on Twitter, they posted their CONCACAF club rankings. And it had Columbus number one.
We are number one.
And I was like, that's great. I love that. But then a picture, of course, they include is Diego Rossi. And it's like they could have done that with Cucho on the roster. They
leading still scorer in Champions Cup.
Sure,
last
of
year,
course.
Though.
I don't blame them for highlighting him at all.
And in Leagues Cup.
That was again one of those like, oh, it's really real, isn't it? It really happened.
He's no longer with us. Will you buy a Real Betis t-shirt?
Yeah, they're hot.
They're sweet.
I looked at them there. I didn't know. I got to be honest. I didn't know Real Betis was green and white. I hadn't paid attention that much.
So they had a great video. The only things that I knew about Real Betis is that they were in Sevilla. I knew that. I also know that professional golfer John Rahm is a big Real Betis guy. And then I also saw, and I'm not sure if it was in a La Liga game or what, they had a sweet like pyrotechnic light show for one of their games. And they had a fiddler, an electric fiddler play, and their stadium was like lighting up in color coordination to bring their team out on the field. So I had a little bit of knowledge. I will be add him to the list. Add Real Betis
to
the list.
I'll be watching Real Betis. Yeah. I mean, I will be watching Cucho play.
Yes.
Like actually there's a part of me that feels a little bit like I should get a Cucho jersey and wear it to opening day.
Sure.
Like a Real Betis
Cucho
jersey.
Anthony Precourt got you wearing green in that stadium. He did it. He finally did it.
By the way, I looked it up in this article. The MLS article, it does say that it's Real Betis's largest transfer fee they've done since COVID. So I misunderstood that. But I still stand by this. I don't care that it's a club record fee. I don't care that $16 million. That was also a club record buy. And this guy is better than anyone you've ever had for the Crew. So for me, I'm sorry. I don't buy the best we could do is $16 million. Well, then you should have waited. You should have held him for another 6 months. And again, would he be mad about that? Maybe a little bit. But then it's like, well, go prove. Like you can't play soccer here and prove to your Colombian. What if you score a goal in every match? Your Colombian national team guy is going to be
if you score two?
Right. I mean, I don't buy that argument. And meanwhile, it's not like he was sitting here openly saying how much he hated the city.
No.
I think he would have.
We've had those guys.
Yeah, we've had those guys.
We've had those guys.
I mean, We also thought Aiden Morris was good. Remember when he won MLS Cup and he walked out on the field? It was pouring rain after MLS Cup.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Adam King from 10TV that got a photo of him or video of him just standing at midfield all alone. And it very much looked like, well, there's a guy. He just had one of the, you know, a brilliant season. He's been awesome. He had an injury issue before that, mm-hmm. came back from it, and now he's out there for MLS Cup. He's won it. He played, you know, a great game. It's pouring down rain. This is the local kid maybe saying goodbye to the field for the last time because he's going to transfer out in this winter window. And then what happened?
Came back.
Played the whole half of the season and then transferred out in the summer.
Middlesbrough.
Great. I'm just saying you couldn't do that again with Kuch. Why did they not transfer him out? I'm sure he had offers. The answer was they didn't get enough money for him.
Right.
This is not enough money for Cucho Hernandez, and you can't tell me different. So
I'm with you on it.
I'm fired up. I'm still fired up.
You actually have gotten more fired up, dude, the more that we talk about it.
I know. It just, and you know what? That's part of the grief process, right? As you go with like anger and then denial, or denial, then anger, then I don't know.
Yelling into a microphone.
Yeah, then there's like sobbing, and then there's like the bargaining, I think, is something that happens somewhere in there, and then you eventually have like you've come to terms with it. I'll probably do that in like 3 years. I'll get to the coming to terms with it like well after. If we win another cup, then I'll come to terms with it. That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll have to get another guy or two and go win a cup, but
yeah. I don't know if that's happening this year.
Oh, no. I'm just like whenever that happens, that like if it takes 3 more years, then maybe I'll be like, "Oh, okay. Well, like with Lucas all around, we were all very mad.
I will say that
they went out and won MLS Cup, and
put this into the ether, but I'm going to put it into the ether. If this team is better than anticipated by the time that we get to summer break, Wilf's gone.
Oh, dude.
Like if they don't get a replacement for Cucho and he still manages to get this team like top two or top three in the East and they're like rattling off some like come hell or high water, they're scoring goals at a record clip, and we've all forgotten about Cucho that he even exists. And Diego Rossi's got like 20 goals on the season, and you see an entirely different style of play. In the summertime, he is gone.
Yeah, right. You and I know, and a lot of Crew fans who are listening know this, right? We know that this team and MLS is not the Premier League. We know it's not these top European leagues.
It's a weird league.
You know you're going to have guys that transfer out. You know that it's a good thing, right? When you have young players that other teams want, they give you more money. You invest that back in the club. You stay good. What I am telling you is you don't have to take the argument from the soccer media in this country that says you should be doing backflips that one of the best players in the league left.
No.
You don't have to do that.
You could be somewhere in the middle.
What you can say is this is good for the club in the long run. This is going to make MLS less watchable in the short run. And for me as a Crew fan, I don't feel as good about this team this year. All of that is real. And I just don't know why the soccer media people can't get that the average fan wants to have good players to watch and exciting talent to watch.
And why it's a good thing for good players to leave.
And again, if you had... Tell me what the team did this offseason to give you confidence in this year.
Nothing.
Other than lose their best player.
Nothing.
They've made zero moves this offseason that are of any impact to this team.
Lassie Lakalainen.
Right, I forgot. Yeah, they brought him in. Little LL guy. We'll see what he can do.
He's not bagging you 84 goals and assists in 92 games.
No. I mean, what did Cucho had 72 goals created in 70 appearances between assists and goals tallied.
That was just in the league. He had 84 and 92.
God.
84 and 92.
Man, that's literally, I think it's almost a one.
It's almost a one ratio.
I believe when Taylor Twellman retired, he had at the time, I don't know what it is now because like Messi's been here and all these other people came in. He at one time had the record for goals per game, not goals created per game, at like 0.88. You know, that's a pretty good strike rate if you're getting almost a goal a game.
Yeah.
And Cucho was productivity-wise...
higher than that.
Yeah, higher than that. So, all right, whatever. I thought this would make me feel better. It's made me feel worse.
You're welcome.
Sorry for ranting.
That's because
I'm sorry for getting all those facts wrong, too. I guess I misread that article earlier. I genuinely thought it was that... They said that the Crew hadn't got a transfer fee like this since before the COVID.
84 and 94. All right, my bad. Not 84 and 92. 84 goals and assists in 94 career games.
Yeah, but some of those were like Champions Cup games.
Well, yeah. Leagues Cup.
Yeah, right. Which, by the way, they won a trophy every year he was here. I mean, every year he played a full season, right? They didn't win a trophy that half year that he was here.
No, they did not.
No, but they were much better. They started getting better.
Now they're going to stink.
Well, good time. It's going to be a fun one this year, buddy.
I'm excited to go to Cleveland to watch him.
I won't be here. We're literally out of town, and I'm not going to Cleveland. That's stupid.
No, thanks.
They can go suck an egg.
Hey, I'm going to be better next week.
I'm sure I will be too.
I'm going to put on a positivity hat,
and you know
we're going to try. And maybe they'll sign someone in the next week.
You know what? You're going to go watch Aston Villa and say, there's my guy, Marcus Rashford. Look at him go.
Yeah, they had a pretty good winter window.
Yeah, I thought they did. They'll be...
Not as good as City, where they spent $219 million, which is more than the $213 million the rest of the league spent.
I will say the one thing about this Cucho move that I actually... The only thing I liked about it, in a way, was like Fabrizio Romano, that guy on Twitter, there was no like six-month build-up to this where it was just like... The terms, they're off. They're back. And then we didn't have a, like, here we go. It's finally official. And you're like, oh, God, when does this end? Like, all those Manchester City transfers just felt like we're coming for weeks where he's just, this is happening. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. And it's like, oh,
Marcus
God.
Marcus Rashford signing for Barcelona. Oh, wait, no, he's not. It's a last-minute U-turn.
Tell me when it's done. Like, just tell me who it is. That was the one thing about this was like, hey, this happened. It's done. Deal with it how you want. But it wasn't like... Oh, he may be going to, like, if they had told us initially that he's leaving you for Barcelona, we'd be like, wow, that's amazing. Okay. And like,
for
that would
$40 million dollars.
Yeah, that would be great. And then if it comes in later, like, it's actually $16 million to Real Betis, we'd be like, oh. At least here it was like, here are the facts. And then as we slowly get to unravel it, we're like, oh, this sucks. This is bad. Don't let anybody tell you different. If you think it sucks, you're right.
I will tell you this. Let's fast forward 10 years from right now. Cucho, Charlie Brown, yellow crew jersey is going to be an all-timer.
I think you're right. I think that's a very good observation by you. I also
buy him if you see him, if you can get him.
I also think 10 years from now, there will still only be three names on the crew's corner of honor or whatever they're calling the stupid thing. Like, can we please add some guys? I told you this last week off the air. The LA Galaxy have three statues out in front of their building. Because they have one for Kobe Jones now. They just announced they're doing
that. My guy, Kobe Jones. Yeah. Loved Kobe Jones.
I forgot that that's how you got into soccer, right?
Yeah. I mean, because I would just play FIFA and I knew nothing about it. And I just liked playing with Kobe Jones because he's one of the fastest guys in the game.
It's great.
And I wanted to play as America.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
He would be my guy.
Yeah. So they announced LA that they're doing a statue for him. They already have one of Beckham and they already have one of Landon. So that's three statues they have. I'm sure they have other guys that they have in their Hall of Honor or
we
whatever they
Siggy,
call their
Frankie
thing.
Siggy, Frankie, and Brian McBride, right?
That's
the
our
names,
three.
Three names?
Yeah. I don't think they've added anybody else.
No, they haven't. We talked about it last week.
Okay. So get on that, crew front office. You're not bringing any new players in. How about you honor some of the guys who deserve to be honored?
I hope at least they have that. Printed Goosebumps Cucho shirts because that'll be a good collector's item.
That'll be one of those things where they'll show up in like another country where it's like just some kid wearing it. And you're like, oh, wait,
wow,
I would have bought that. You didn't even sell it.
Eric was telling me the other day because he was looking through some of the stuff and getting some crew gear for this year that it is a unbelievable collector's item. It was the like rainbow. I don't know if it was the Pride Night, like alternate jersey that they wore, but it's multiple different colors. But he told me that it's the Crew SC Carabiner logo that only existed for like 2 days.
Oh, wow.
I said, that is quite the collector's piece because those don't exist at all.
No, they don't. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those are the types of things, like my buddy Elliot Stanek, he's like Mr. Vintage uniform guy. He knows all the eBay groups to get into to get these like cool jerseys, game used. He gets weird stuff, right? And that's what I could see him having just because it's like, yeah, this is different and weird. And
we never wore it and nobody ever saw it.
Right. I could see him owning something like that. That's pretty awesome. All right. Well, hopefully that put a smile on your face at the end, because the rest of it was a lot of just fuming and foaming at the mouth by me. So sorry about that.
No, I'm sad.
Well, I know, but you're more measured. You're like, you're pragmatic.
I'm kind of just shell-shocked, like, honestly.
Fair.
Like, I'm not even that being that pragmatic about it. I'm just kind of still in disbelief that he's gone.
How much is a Real Betis?
$84. I looked. Oh, I was already on their store.
That's not bad. It's Hummel?
I don't know.
It's a Hummel shirt. Robbie Hummel makes it.
Yeah, Matt's Hummel.
That's right. All right, well, I got to get it customized, but I'm getting one. Green and white.
Steven Marrera still on the team, or did he get sold to Turkey too?
I saw that. It was like the same day there were like some tweets about that. I was like, later,
Steven Marrera is going to leave to go to Fenerbahce. I'm like, no, can't have him.
You know what? And we did we didn't do the podcast last week, and we didn't even get to talk about Federico Higuain joining up with Crew 2, which is a very cool thing. We love that. That's awesome. But now it's all been overshadowed by the Cucho news for me. You know what? Maybe that's the light we get is – you know what? If the senior team lets you down, go watch Crew 2.
Yeah.
Go watch people on the sidelines. Feel good about it. Enjoy historic Crew Stadium. Have fun. Let this year just be a get together with your Crew fans and have fun. And then, you know what? If it turns out to be a good year, great. But I have zero expectations for this season now.
I will say watching Steven Marrera play for Jose Mourinho would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. If he goes, if absolutely.
Jose would love him. I'm not wishing for that.
No. But
if
you're
it
right.
does happen.
I would love to hear him talk about Steven Marrera and just know that his eyes and my eyes were watching the same dude run around a field and both have the similar view of like, this guy's good. I like him. Like, that would make me feel really good.
He can play for me.
Oh, if I had a team, he'd play for me. Of course. I'd want him to.
So would Cucho.
Cucho would, too. Yeah. You know, and I would have bought him for more than $16 million. Not cheapskate, Real Betis.
Yeah, come on.
Actually, I don't blame them. I blame the people who said, $16 million, good.
I don't blame Real Betis. Good job. If you want to talk about good business, good job out of them.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Good for business. Great job, board of directors over there.
I believe the guy who runs Real Betis's name is Rob Pelinka.
Eric has no idea what you're talking about. You mean weirdo Rob Lowe?
Dude, I saw that press conference and I was like, it's bomber jacket, really?
It's Rob Lowe.
It is. He is. We have Rob Lowe at home.
Yeah. Actually, at Rob Lowe's house, we have Rob Pelinka at home. They can play each other in a movie.
You got Rob Lowe at Temu and they sent you Rob Pelinka. Okay. That's enough of that. Thank you all for listening. Sorry, we'll try to be in better moods next time. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.